Yo, what up? It's your boy, OneJJ Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor. It's Friday night. I'm not out in these streets chilling. I wish I was. Maybe there was a club I didn't get invited to. I probably couldn't get it anyway because I don't feel like flossing tonight. You don't know what I do. You don't know about my life. So what? I'm sitting here. But I'm here for you so you could be happy. I'm on the Twitter. I'm on the Facebook. iKimZ.com has got other episodes of Doc Tales on it. You know you want to check them out. I'm also on the Patreon. If you got shekels or change or some kind of money that you'd like to throw at me, I will dance for said money. You will enjoy that. Also, if you don't have any money and you're broke, which I totally understand, that's why you sit here on a Friday night watching and listening to me, then you could go ahead and subscribe on YouTube. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe on RSS. You subscribe on SoundCloud. That's for all you broke bitches out there. I know y'all ain't got no money, but you can still help me help you by subscribing and hitting that button. So today, I got somebody with me that, I call him like a friend. I call him a brother. I call him a mentor. I call him a mentee. Like, this dude's like, you know what I mean? He's one of those dudes where I rarely need advice from somebody, or I rarely need to go and talk to another man about stuff. But if I did need to talk to said man, my father's not here. This dude's like a close third option for that said talking. This guy is something that you wouldn't think is real, something you won't believe. He's every man's man, very confident dude. This is the lovely Thomas Edwards. Say what's up to the people, Thomas.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Man, they're doing good, Thomas. They're doing good. So, Thomas, first of all, just go ahead and tell people real quick what you do for a living, because they don't believe it. I know they won't believe it, but go ahead.
They usually don't. first thing I would tell people is that I am a professional wingman. The second thing I'll tell them is that I'm founder of a company called The Professional Wingman. And what we do is we help people develop better social skills to give them the best chance of finding a romantic partner. And so we do that by going out with them as their wingman to social environments, and we give them real-time feedback on what prevents them from making those romantic connections happen.
Boom. Lazy man's answer. If you ever saw the movie Hitch, he's Will Smith without all the convoluted drama that happens at the end of the way to find love. Because when you are the man that can find love, you don't make that many said mistakes. But that's how movies work. But in the real world, Thomas has already tackled his queen to be and married and loved up and living the dream. Just left the best coast for the West Coast. But he's avoiding these winters, which is
makes you very. I thought it was the Beast Coast for the best coast.
Man, look, I don't know the balance of powers wherever one I'm visiting. So right now, I'm over here on the cold side of life, which is my favorite season. I love winter. So how's LA? You happy? Everything good?
Yeah, very happy, man. LA is crazy. Like, I thought I had a picture of what LA was going to be like, and it's definitely not that. And I mean that in a good way. People here are more chill. There's less people scattered about. I don't feel like I'm huddled like a can of sardines moving through streets and stuff. Weather is pretty much always nice, which is amazing. So I don't have to worry about if I need to change my clothes. I don't have to worry about if plans are going to get canceled. I don't have to worry about if I can't walk around. It's just – and people just seem to be happy out here.
Oh, they're happy. They're happy, but they're L.A. happy. They're
happy.
They're fake happy. They're fake.
Well, see, so happy. here's what's interesting. I do see a lot of that. You see a lot of people who are just not being real. Well, the one thing I have determined, and you know, I've been in New York for 5 years before I moved here, and that's in New York, it's a badge of honor to show your hustle. Like, you gotta show people you're hustling. Like, if you're not getting out of work at 11 p.m., you are not doing enough for your life. But in LA, people like to show when they're not hustling, and they don't care about whether or not you see their hustle. And so those people who might be chilling on the beach at like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, who are I'm saying on the West Side. I'm not saying in Hollywood or down whatever where there's more actors and entertainment is more rampant. But if you're living on the West Side and you're chilling and you're doing your on your laptop, chances are you have the freedom to be able to live that kind of life. And people don't necessarily worry about having to show people how they hustle. I'm not saying it happens often. I'm not saying it's the polar opposite of New York. But some people that you do run into, you could tell that they're the real deal because of that.
So, yes, there are amazing, real people in LA. I'm talking in generals. I have a very core-centric group of people. Most of them are like yourself, and they're transplants from somewhere. They're not LA-dians or people that have been in the culture for 30, 40-plus. And there are a few of those, too. But, I mean, in general, the general thing is people on the East Coast, preferably New York, are real. They tell you to go fuck yourself. In LA, everybody says, oh, sure, I'll get the lube and we'll have some relations and make it a special time. When really they're just trying to screw you like everybody else is, but they make it sound nice. So that's a general perception. The weather is beautiful. Have you been to San Diego yet?
I have. Was down in San Diego, went up to La Jolla for a little bit.
San Diego is my retirement home, boy. San Diego.
I like it a lot.
Woo, it ain't nothing but blondes and 84-degree breezes, brother. That's all it is.
It's pretty great. Woo. I can't lie. I'm trying to go back down there again next month for a few days, during the week.
My buddy moved out there, and it's like you don't need AC. You don't need heat. Barely you need a fan. That's how amazing San Diego is. I love San Diego. So, how's the wife?
Wife is good. She's went to get some groceries.
She's grocery shopping.
Yeah. Life is good. She's very happy here. You know what's really funny? Like, when I was in New York, you know me. When I was in New York, I was all over the place. I was bar hopping, hanging out, always this huge social person, while she stayed at home. Like, if you ever saw me out, you never saw her with me. She was always home, wanted to be home, was okay with being home. Now, she's out almost more than me.
Yeah.
She has so many friends out here. She's hanging out. I have to ask her what she's doing tonight.
Yeah.
Because I might be at home by myself if I'm not careful. So it's really good to see her kind of grow in this new space and enjoy herself.
The weather got her.
Yeah.
The weather and the open space got her because, you know, she doesn't mind going out. She likes going from A to B and being there. She doesn't like that whole in-between hustle and bustle and getting around. But out there, A and B is like, ooh, palm trees, sunshine, warm breeze, chilling. Like, yeah, a little bit of traffic and you're stuck in it. But the traffic's the worst part. But other than that, you know, I could totally see her being happier and wanting to get out more. It's really like sunshine versus – it's like day versus night.
Yeah.
New York is definitely Gotham City, like Batman, just no joy, just dark and seedy all the time. It's always sexy. It's always sexy.
It's sultry. You know what I mean?
Yep. Out in LA, it's like, oh, we playing volleyball? No, I just woke up, but we could play volleyball if you want to play volleyball. Like, that's what we doing. So it's a different vibe and feel. I don't mean to trash on LA for all my LA California peeps, but it is different. It's a different feeling.
It's just, I mean, the same way, you know, New York's not for everyone. LA is not for everyone either, too. You know what I mean? So you gotta embrace it. Both sides have the good, the bad, and the ugly. We both know that.
Yeah, that's how everything works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Thomas, now, I know you're married now, but this is Doctails. So I want you to reach back into your bag of tricks and tell me.
See my single hat on?
Yeah, single hat on. And tell me about an experience where you didn't capitalize on the moment. Tell me about a regret.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be public, too. It's going to be great. So
Hey, look.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was one day I was out with a few friends. We were kind of just hanging out. It was a Saturday fun day. You know, it was just like hanging out, doing nothing, playing pool. And this girl wanted to come hang out. So I was like, yeah, come out, hang out. We were cool. I started drinking, all having a good time. And then I noticed that she was kind of like feeling on me. So I was like, oh, it's cool. Like, I didn't think that we had that level, but I will take it. And what happened was I wasn't really aggressive enough until she had to leave, because she got actually too drunk and had to go home. But I also forgot that later on that night, I had another friend who was coming to meet me who was traveling from out of the country. And she specifically came the first night to come meet up with me. So I'm with my boys. I'm trying to like say goodbye to the first girl. We end up like making out. And as we're making out, I open my eye and I see second girl walk by me. And I'm like, oh shit. So I walk first girl out, get her in an Uber, she's good to go. And then the other girl came out and she's like, I didn't know what to say, what to do. I thought that was like your girlfriend or blah blah blah. I was like, no, like she's just a friend. She just got really drunk, took her home, and so I was hanging out with her. I hang out with her, and then I got too drunk because I was drinking all day.
Got you.
And, yeah, then I got way too sloppy. Like, she couldn't really understand what I was saying. And she was like, well, you know, I would, but you're like, you're just so sloppy right now. I think I'm just going to go home. And then she ended up just like, she even wanted me to walk her out. She was just like, she just left. And she was like, call me, talk to me tomorrow when you're like sober. And so that was twice.
You struck out two times at bat. With a whole bunch of foul balls in between, all drunk and sauced up.
Twice in one day, man. I will never forget that day because what it taught me was drinking does nothing for your life when it comes to women. If you want the best women in your world, you need to get her when you're sober.
Yes, and focused.
Yes, exactly.
So before I tell you about my story about regret, I'm going to tell you how I'm a better capitalizer than you because one, I wasn't drinking. So I graduate high school. It's senior year. And no, wait, I'm lying. It was my junior year, but it was the last day of school. Now, there was a girl that was a senior there that, again, I talk to everybody like I want to sleep with them because it's how I talk to people. You know, I call you sometimes to ask you what you're wearing because it's just how I roll. It works. Yeah, and it also keeps me protected because when I got a girlfriend, she can't get mad if I ever ask her, what you wearing? Who are you talking to? I'm talking to Thomas. You know how I talk to people. It keeps me out of trouble. It's a prepared pattern statement. Guys, listen, follow me. Work with me.
It's insurance policy.
Insurance policy in general. So, graduate high school, this girl that had a boyfriend the whole 4 years I knew her, and I've been talking to her, whatever. She had a boyfriend. So she was like, oh, well, I'm house-sitting for my aunt. Do you want to go out to the movies tonight? And I'm like, don't you have a boyfriend? She's like, well, I'm going to this school. He's going to that school. I don't even know why I ever dated him because he's a Mormon, and we never even hooked up or did anything because he isn't about that unless you're married. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize all that. Okay, well, let's go out to the movies. I'm like, sure. And I'm thinking it was on some kind of friend thing because, again, there was no kind of, not like, I didn't even get that because she always had a man.
Oh,
she
was, said like, oh,
yeah. So she was always respectful with her boyfriend or whatever. So we go out, we watch the movie. It was Men in Black. Remember like it was yesterday. We are the Men in Black. Great movie. Have fun. And so she was driving and I'm like, all right, well, you want to like go to a diner? You want to take me home? She's like, well, I got some leftovers at my aunt's place that I'm house sitting. We can go back over there. And I'm like, sure. So
why not?
Fast forward, long story short, I end up sleeping with her. Most interesting fact, because I'm giving details today for some odd reason, she had the largest bush to this day that I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was like just, it was just a mountaintop afro. Yeah, she had never did anything before. It was her first time. It wasn't my first time. I've been getting busy for a while. But anyway, so that worked out. And bonus on top of that, that night, after that night, I talked to her one more time a month later when she came back from school. But after hooking up with her that time, I haven't talked to her again since. So she literally just, she was like, you're a good dude. I know you're a good dude. I want my first time to be with you. Let's get it. And that was it. And I took that. So afterwards, she dropped me off at home. And so I wake up the next morning and no school. Girl knocks on my door, and she's a grade lower than me. She's in the 10th grade. I'm in 11th grade. Now, this girl is annoying, and I know she likes me, but she's super annoying. And I'm just like, no, whatever. And she's just like, well, school's out, blah, blah, blah. You're always ignoring me, whatever. Long story short, I ended up sleeping with her. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, I feel like a scuzz bucket. It's been like 12 hours, and I just did it. Fast forward again. The neighbor girl, three girls, 24 hours.
Wow.
I felt like such a scuzz bucket, I took a year off from sleeping with any girl. So my whole senior year, I didn't sleep with anybody because I felt guilty. Now, hindsight's 20/20, I should be thinking I was the man. But at the same time, but the girls were giving it to me. They were throwing it at me because, again, the games
that
I...
Did you shower in between, though?
Oh, man, I showered. I cleaned up. So, I washed up. So
I think that's more important than anything else. Yeah,
oh, the respect game. I was also young, and it was just one of those things where I was like, man, what's going on? And again, I didn't have to do nothing. It was all just like given to me. I'm sitting there thinking that somebody's spying on me. Like, what's going on?
But see, it's like delivery.
So where you struck out twice, I went 3 for 3 at bat, and I was like, yo, I retire. I'm retiring early. I give up.
It's one of those days where you just walk up to the plate and you just kind of
point. Right? I was just like, man, this is that was one of my highlight days. Even though again, I felt guilty afterwards. I don't know why. Again, just being young and stupid, not listening to myself. Because as a man now, you think, hey man, you doing it, man? You the man, man? You the man? But I was freaking out.
Well, yeah, it's not the numbers though. It's always the experience. Like I've hooked up with 3 women in one day too, and like. It just happens to be a sequence of events. It wasn't like something that like we, like obviously like you didn't plan for that and neither did I.
No.
But it kind of just happened. As guys, like what are we going to say? No, I mean, I had 2, so I'm good. I've had enough. No, you're going to take as many as you want.
Yeah.
And as long as you're clean about it and you're respectful, I think it's okay. Because who are we to judge? If women did the same thing, he would be all over that, right? And that's not fair.
And once I realized it too, I was like, yo, I didn't even like fish for. I mean, I do fish for. Like I said, I'm always casting nets and putting in the work. But it's one of those things where, again, like you said, you just got to take it as it rolls. Sometimes you strike out. Sometimes you go 3 for 3 on these home runs, and you just got to ride the wave. Now, back to my original question, because as we talk about confidence all the time, and I know you stress that, you teach that to guys, and there's different ways to do it, whether it's the way you dress, the people you surround yourself with, the environment, how you educate yourself, you know, there are multiple different levels on which that you tailor confidence building to the person.
Yeah.
And, you know, as being a advisor and people always come to me for advice, I'm always telling people like, look, the biggest thing about, especially when you're trying to approach a woman is rejection is going to happen no matter what you do.
Course.
Sometimes you get the job, sometimes you don't. And you could think you're fully qualified for that job and your resume is impeccable. But guess what? Somebody might have a better resume than you and you don't know it. Or the person reading your resume might not like the things on your list that you've done. Yeah. But if you don't go apply for the job, you can't get it. Same thing with girls. You know, I've been out with you at the bar when you've been working or we've just been hanging out. And there have been times where we just go out just like how girls do. We go out literally to go hang out, meet chicks. Have fun, be nice, make them have the best night they've ever had in their lives, and then roll out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's
like a gentle breeze.
Yeah, just do it. And you know, we'll do another show sometime and talk about those stories. Maybe we'll link up and we'll do a live stream of an event because you're married now, and I'm always married somewhere to somebody and not four people. But we'll go out, we'll do it. But the thing about confidence is you have to try. You know, when you meet a girl – and even if you think, oh, man, she's going to say no. Well, if you don't ask her, you already said no for her.
Yeah, exactly.
So either way, you're getting rejected. You've got to deal with that rejection and just go for it. Because, again, you never know. So you remember I told you about the one time I messed up on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what her name is? You shouldn't. So don't feel bad, because this is another.
Do I though?
You don't.
You don't. Sure?
I'm almost positive.
Okay, it doesn't begin with a J though, right? Does it?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh no! That was another girl I was on a super date with that we bumped into each other at in the city. I know who you're thinking of.
Yes.
We're yes, but that's not her. Right now, see, that's why I feel like a scuzz bug because I got too many girls I'm talking about stories. But this girl, you don't know her name, and I never told her name because she's like my unicorn. But for people that don't know the story, I'll retell the story so I can tell you about the present day.
Yeah,
I used to do shows. I met this girl who's a friend of some of my friends at a bar. She had seen some of my videos. She was like, oh, you know, you're so funny. You should come and do some of your shows at my house. I've got a nice big house. I got a pool. You could do skits there. Just a beautiful woman. I can't even describe her because somebody might know who she is. When I say beautiful, like I mean like model beautiful. She's older now, but she's still tight. Perfect. Anyway, go to her house a couple times, shoot some shows. One time I'm up there hanging out, and not even a date. I was just like, oh, well, you know, you want to go and grab some dinner or something like that in town? So we go down, and dude, just ends up being a magical night. We're drinking, we had some dinner, we're playing pool, we're in and out a couple bars, and we're in like this small town, city area, college town with the big bulb street lamps and stuff, and it just felt like a movie. It's 3 a.m., I'm sitting on the bench, the stars are out, we're talking about the world, and I'm thinking like, wow, like we're like really connected right now, like, oh my God, like I like, and again, I don't really get wowed by women like that. Like I usually keep my emotions in check. You know, I've been with enough of them that I don't be letting them just get me, but she was getting me. And I'm just like, man, I should kiss her. And as soon as I thought in my mind, I'm going to kiss her, even though it wasn't like a date thing, it just was a magical night.
Yeah.
We're sitting on this bench and then out comes like three college dudes that are drunk. Now, normally what happens with me is I'm always usually with a very attractive female. I'm a large dinosaur whale. Other prototype males get jealous and annoyed that I'm with such a pretty female. So they do what they do. They walk out of the bar. They're like, hey, girl, you should come hang out with us and get the fuck away from that guy. He looks like a loser. And I was like, whatever. Yep. Typical. I was like, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? And she was like, ah, get out of here, whatever. And then one of the dudes like touches her shoulder. It was like, whatever he said to her. And I stand up to get on my macho man bravado, and out of her purse that was probably no bigger than my iPhone, she pulls out a gun.
Now, what?
She pulls out a gun, and she's like, yo, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here, I'm going to shoot one of you. And the dude's like, oh, you're a crazy man. Da, 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 da. And I'm sitting there like,
I'm in love.
Now, see, here's the thing. If I could break it down in quarters, 25% of me was in love, 25% of me was aroused, 25% of me was scared, and 25% of me was insulted. I'm like, did she bring the gun? Because I'm here and she can't trust me? Is she going, what am I going to do? Yeah. Now she's mad, I'm mad, the gun, and all this shit, and the fucking whole vibe just went to hell. And I end up taking her back home, and then I end up going home. And then we didn't talk for like a little while after that. Now, again, it's not somebody I was talking to every day, but we didn't talk to each other for like 6 or 8 months. After that, long story short, this is 6 years ago. I've talked to her at least once a year or once every 6 months. And when we talk, it's 2 or 3 weeks at a time where we're talking 2-4 hours a night, like fucking kids up to the middle of the night, falling asleep on the phone, just talking. And again, she's like, she's the type of woman that every man wants. Married men look at her, get hit by their wives. Single men offer her vacations and trips and diamonds and rubies. Like, she's just, when I call her a unicorn. I've only met 3 unicorn women in my life, but she's the woman that other women envy and love, and people just want her. And I didn't want to be that dude all up on the girl that everybody's. I'm trying to be different. So I placated it. I had these conversations, and then about 6 months or so ago, she called me, she was upset or whatever, and she has a boyfriend that wasn't treating her right, per se. And she didn't tell me all the details, but I was like making her laugh and being happy, whatever. Stopped talking again for another 3 months. Then finally she contacted me again, and I'm like, are you with the dude again? She's like, no, I'm not. And then she complains about how women do, and she complained. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, is this the complaint? Like, I should be telling her like what a dude should do? I said, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what I would do. So I just was like, look, he's not touching you. He doesn't want to be with you. I'm like, you're like one of the top 5 women on the planet. There's no reason for him not to want to be with you when he fought so hard to get you and told you how much he loved you and wanted you and whatever.
And bullshit and bullshit and bullshit. Yeah.
And so what finally got me annoyed was she said he calls her Jenny, and her name is not Jenny. She says, he always says, you're my girl, Jenny, from Forrest Gump. And I'm like, so one, is his true love named Jenny, or does he just not know your name? Like, that's annoying. Why would he do that to you? You deserve to be respected. Like I said, you're one of my golden unicorns. He can't talk to you like that. So I really got on my horse to where I'm saying, I take care of you. I do this, I do that. She's a little stressed about life in the world. I said, give me your address. I'm going to send you something. And she's like, find out my address. You've been here before. Figure it out. So I do. I send her a package, 6 different bath bombs, And
wait, 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 wait. Let's back up 1 second.
Huh?
How'd you find out the address if you didn't know it initially?
So I've been to her house, remember, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
One of my great gifts in life is I have a photographic memory. So
That's true.
when
That's
I
true.
when I when, as soon as she said find it, I literally was like, I had the number to the house, and I had the, I almost had the town right. I was really close. So then, give away my secrets because she's probably gonna watch this. I found her address. I was close enough. I looked on the phone. I found the town. Then I reverse Googled it because I know her name, and then I found it
Yeah.
to double
Okay.
check myself.
Nice, nice.
I had sent her something before a long time ago, but that address was not in my system anymore for that. But anyway, I did the job. I found the address, like she said. I sent her a packet of bath bombs and coconut oil. And so I said, well, don't open this. I'm going to come over and I'm going to give you a bath and give you a massage so you can relax because you're all stressed out. And she's just laughing. She's like, well, one, I don't have a bathtub. I have like a shower here. And two, I don't really take baths. And I'm like, you don't take baths?
Who
Who
doesn't take
doesn't
baths?
take baths? Baths are beautiful.
They're
Baths
the
are amazing.
best.
Baths are like, they're just great. And so then I really like, I kind of got depressed because I'm like, well, maybe she doesn't kind of like me or whatever, because who doesn't have a bath? I'm thinking like that's got to be the worst excuse in the world. So I double up on my horse and I have a really nice bathtub here. It's like I'm a big dude. It makes me look like a kid. It's got jacuzzis. It's got jets. And so I
Nice.
was like, look, I was like, why don't you come over here, bring the bath bombs, I'll give you a bath. And she was like, maybe I will come over. Next conversation we had, again, another 4 hour conversation. She's like, oh, I'll come over on X day. And I'm like, cool. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, she's going to blow me off. Like I said, we talk about all the dudes that try to hit on her and blow her up and send her 30 text messages in a row, won't even let her respond. So I'm like, whatever. Maybe she'll come over, maybe she won't. But as the week progresses, we're still talking. She's like, oh, I'm going to be over Sunday. Just let me know what time you think, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, another pro tip for dudes. I was like, oh, what kind of wine do you drink? Because I'm going out to surrogate wine. She likes peach wine. I buy two different kinds of peach wine. What's your favorite color? She tells me Caribbean blue. So my lights in my house are color coded, so I can make them Caribbean blue. I'll tell you about that later. But I also went out and got her
Nice.
a bath sponge that was Caribbean blue, and I got her a coconut body wash. And then
Yes.
I asked her what her favorite music was. She said oboe music, which is basically like classical music.
Yeah.
So I did all those things, asked her a couple more general questions, and then I was like, look, on Saturday, I was like, oh, if you're coming, I got peaches, I got blues, I got oboes, I got everything you need, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah. I was like, look, you're gonna come over, you're gonna get a bath, you're gonna get a massage, I'm gonna take care of you, and I don't need nothing in return. Just come here, I'm gonna take care of you. She's like, I've never had a man be able to take care of me and have me not have to take care of him. I was like, well, I'm promising you don't have to worry about it.
Who is she dating? Well, that's that.
Again, 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 and she's a unicorn, bro. Like I said, like if you, she's a unicorn. Like
That's crazy.
you know how you got married? You remember that conversation we had in the car, the parking lot, and we was talking about all the other women in the world versus your woman, and it was all the other versus you. Your wife is your unicorn. This is not my unicorn. She's a unicorn. I got to check myself
Yeah,
sometimes.
she's a
She's a,
unicorn.
yes. So,
Yeah, she's a unicorn.
She comes over. Oh man, her smile lights up the world, bro. Like whatever. I had pre-made food, so I was on time. I made a oh, and I asked her what kind. I was like, red or white sauce. She said white sauce. Love her for
Boom.
that.
Yeah.
So I made chicken Alfredo and broccoli. I had timed it so it was just finished cooking right when she walked up to the door. She walks in, hug and a kiss. I was like, yes, she kissed me. We're good. Now I got my kiss out of the way already. So no matter what
Yeah.
happens, at
Boom.
least I made up for 6 years ago and I didn't get my kiss. So we're in there. She's like, oh, you cooked me dinner? I'm like, yeah, of course I cooked you dinner. Why, you know what I mean? We sit down, we have dinner, we have wine, we're laughing, we're talking. And I'm like, all right, well, you done had the peaches, you done had the white sauce. I was like, well, let me go start running the bath. And she's like, you're really gonna give me a bath? I'm like, yeah, get the bath bombs out. So I go run the bath, and we go through the bath bombs, and she's just smelling them. They're luxurious. I got lavenders and beach scents and all this other kind of stuff. She's like, what do you do with this thing? I'm like, you throw it in the bath, it dissolves, it makes bubbles, and it smells great, whatever. So make the bath, run the
So
bath,
great.
put the oboe music in the tub. The bubbles are in there. I dim the lights. You know what I mean? I shut the door, let her get in the tub. She gets in the tub and you just hear her like squeal like a kid. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, right? I'm like, hit those jets. And she's like, yeah. She's like, okay. So she hits the jets and she's in there for a minute. I'm like, all right. Here's your blue coral thing. I had it laid out. And I was like, here's your blue. I told you I had some Caribbean blue. That's Caribbean blue. Yeah. And she's in the bathtub and she's like, I'm sitting on the toilet where I can't really see her in the tub. We're just talking. And I'm like, oh, you want me to scrub your back? I got some bath salts and stuff like that. She's like, sure. She's like, why are you being so nice to me? And I'm like, why wouldn't I be so nice to you? Like, I've loved you for a long time. If nothing else, we've been friends for forever. It's been 6 years. Why wouldn't I be nice to you? And she's like, I feel like a little kid. Like, you're just giving me a bath. And I'm like, yeah. So I scrub her back with the salts. And she's like, this just feels amazing. I'm like, yeah. It's like, so go ahead and relax. And enjoy the bath. And I'm going to get out of here. So I go in the other room and I set the other room up now. Again, she's like an island person. She's a hot weather person. So I got a mango air freshener, like oil scent. So the whole house smells like mango. Yeah. I dim the lights. Sounds cheesy. My headboard has LED colored lights behind it. So that's glowing. Caribbean blue. Yep. The headboard's glowing Caribbean blue. And again, since she's a warm person, pro tip, I put a warming electric blanket underneath my sheets. Turn that on high. So when she gets out of the bathtub, I was like, all right, well, dry off and come in here. I'm gonna give you the massage. So she comes in, she lays down. I'm like, and I also offered her a heating apparatus. She's like, well, what's this heating apparatus? I'm like, lay in the bed. She gets in the bed's warm. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, right? I'll take care of you. So, you know, she says massage shorts on or off. And I'm like, obviously off if you're making the offer for which one you want. Yeah. So I proceed to whatever you want, front or back. So I massage the front, I massage the back. I asked her if she wanted a little extra. So I flipped her over on her back again, gave her just a little bit of extra with my hands. A
little extra.
then I let her sit there with the oboe music and relax for a minute. I said, look, just lay here, relax, don't move. Turned her over, enjoyed a light snack for myself until she was pleased with her experience. Then I laid there with her in my arms and she's just like, oh, that was great. She's like, just give me a few minutes to enjoy this. And she's like, I'll take care of you. And I'm like, I told you, you're not taking care of me. This is all for you. She's like, no, I want to. I'm like, oh, I know you do. I believe that you would want to. Why wouldn't you? But just lay here with me. I'm happy that you're happy. I just wanted to make you happy. I wanted you to feel appreciated. I wanted you to know that somebody cared the way I'm caring right now. So we're laying there and we're talking and the conversation comes up about that night with the street lamps.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, man, it's crazy. Like you didn't kiss me. Cause you know, I mean, we could have been doing something or off and on, whatever this whole time. And I'm like, do you not remember pulling your gun out? And her eyes lift. She's like, oh my God, I forgot about that. I'm like, yeah, I know we were drinking that night, but that's what happened with the night. Like I felt the same way you felt, but didn't that happen? And it was all, and she was like, oh my God. And I'm like, I forgot. I was like, and I told her, I was like, look, I told this story to my boy. We did another show a long time ago, and I told him about it. I mentioned it a couple times because it's one of those I don't.
Yeah.
I always capitalize on my opportunities, and you are the one time that I did not, and I felt so bad about it. And she was just like, that's so crazy. I'm like, right? And now you're here, and you're in my arms, and I'm looking at you, and I am the happiest boy in the world. Also, pro tip, I turned off football because she's not a sports person, and I didn't know if the Eagles were going to win or not, so I didn't want anything to spoil my day. So
that's a true pro move, bro. So I know about you and your Eagles. So.
Oh man. And again, I didn't want my emotions getting out of hand where I'm mad because I can't hide that. And then she's looking at me like, why are you mad? So I was like, I turned everything off.
Don't want to talk about.
So she kept telling me to check it. And as we were just sitting around, laying around, whatever, right before she was getting ready to leave, this is going to be something that's horrible for me because I'm a man. She's like, just check the game, whatever. So she's going back to get her clothes to get dressed. And, I checked the game, and the Eagles blew out the Steelers. And between already being dealing with her and being, I was solid as a rock when she came back in the room. And I'm just like, I know I said I didn't need anything, but I've had the best night with you, and the Eagles won 34-3. I think I might need some loving before you go. I'm just sorry. I almost made it. You almost made it out the door. You shouldn't have had me check the Eagles game because the joy from that plus the joy from you, I can't take it. I'm gonna explode. So we hung out a little bit longer, and then she left. And yay!
Yes, yes.
Yay.
Hey, redemption.
Redemption.
It's all about redemption.
Okay, now since I've been talking about this for too long, I'm gonna finish up and tell you again. Guys love this girl so much. And so I said to myself, I'm not gonna text her first the next morning. I'm gonna let it simmer and be cool and play my role. But I'm gonna do something cute. So she texted me first. Oh, did the night go as you planned? Did you think I would be that comfortable with you? And I was like, well, it's an expression of trust. I would hope that you would be that comfortable with me because we knew each other so well, you know, but I didn't plan on anything going any way. I had made the plan of what I was going to do for you and offer. Anything else you were comfortable with? Yes. So whatever, we're talking back and forth. She's like, you used to think I'm a unicorn? Now I'll tell you something. I made her a newsletter.
What?
I made her a newsletter.
What is that? What does that mean?
Okay, so
what does that mean?
Okay, so again, when you know when guys just do cheesy stuff like call a girl up mixtape. It's like the mixtape.
Is that your digital version of a mixtape?
No. Okay. First of all, this is the first time I've ever done it. This is the last time I've ever done it. For two reasons. One, because it's super cheesy. And I knew that she was the type to appreciate it because, again, she's just a happy soul.
Yeah.
And the way she was questioning me throughout the day reinforced it. So I made her a newsletter. Now, I'm going to open it up so I can tell you because you will appreciate this. The newsletter.
This is like a high level Spotify playlist.
Oh, bro. So again, she was asking me like how I felt about her. She's like, "Do you still think I'm a unicorn?" So the newsletter says newsletter. Oh, and the guy she was dating kept telling her like, "Oh, I'm not gonna do all that stuff for you. The honeymoon's over." And I'm like, "When you sit with a goddess, the honeymoon never ends. What you talking about? The honeymoon's over." So, and I told her, I gave her a honey trap. She's like, "What's a honey trap?" I was like, "A honey trap is bath bombs and massages and stuff that women can't turn down. You got to come get it. That's a honey trap." So the top headline on my newsletter says, "Honey trap meet honeymoon. A boy keeps his word." And then I got a little dude choking out a unicorn. It says, "Men fall in love, smothering unicorns to death." Then I got a triangle. It says, "Bermuda Triangle, these unicorns are dangerous." And then I have her name with a unicorn thing. And then it has a big old picture of a unicorn underneath the headline newsletter. And so it says, the question she asked me on the phone, it said, "Did everything go as planned? Did your evening go as planned?" And I said, "I held my word about 99% of the night. So between you and the Eagles, as before you left, I was over the moon. Enjoyed every moment with you, blah, 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 blah," right? So I write about that. And the one thing I told her was, don't think that I think that you're like a notch in my belt or a conquest.
Yeah.
Because of the time that I waited. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I told her before, I don't be lying to girls. I'd be straight up. I'm like, look.
Oh, of course.
If I didn't want you or want to be with you, I wouldn't be talking to you this much. I'm talking to you way too much to not want you. So you need to know that I want you. The other guys playing, I'm in the friend zone. Because, you got to let somebody know. Because if they're uncomfortable with you letting them know all the time, they'll stop talking to you. They keep talking to you. They're open to it. So I said, as far as I'm concerned, you're an achievement. You're something I waited for, something I worked for, and something I earned. So achievement unlocked. Like, you ain't.
Triple crown.
You ain't no conquest. And then her other question was, do you think I'm still a unicorn? And I said, oh, you'll always be a unicorn. I go express to her the things I appreciate and like about her. And then I got a picture of a unicorn in bed, like chilled up with the blanket and a unicorn snoozing. And it's really cheesy, bro. It's super cheesy.
It's the only way I could see such a thing is as cheesy.
It's a high school love letter with pictures. Basically what it is. You know what I mean? And so I'd sent her the thing, and it was so funny because right after I sent, I'm like, either she's gonna love it or she's never gonna talk to me again. And so I guess we're about to find out. But she's still talking to me, and so we're all good. And again, you gotta know the person that you're doing stuff with. But again, first time I ever did it, last time I ever did it, and if she was laughing at me to her girlfriends, it's going to be the first time they ever heard of it and the last time they ever heard of it. So I'm definitely in a different class bracket than these other dudes that don't know.
Well, she earned it. She earned it. She was the first and the last, so something you'd never done.
Oh, I know you're laughing at me. You're going to tell the wife tonight, this fool out here writing newsletters.
Oh man, I can't even tell you. I mean, the closest I got for her was that Spotify. I have a Spotify playlist that I have for her.
You know what the worst part is? Like, it's not even the same as it was, because back in the day,
oh, it's different.
When you used to have, even for CDs, when you used to have the tape,
and you had
to sit on the radio.
You had to put the label on, and you had to write it.
Yeah, and then you had to wait for the radio to play the songs you wanted, to record on the radio. And then when you got the mix CD, then you was a professional. Then you was a Mickey Figgy DJ. Boy, you out here like, oh, I got it. And you give somebody something physical that they could play. Now it's like, I'm going to send you this play. The same thing. She was like, what song is this, the oboe you're playing? I was like, oh, I bought Oboe Classics, the Oboe Classical album. It's got like 10 different artists, and it's just professional around the world. I'm like, oh, I'll buy the CD and send it to you. And I'm like, it's on Apple Music. I got to buy it and digitally send it. You don't even get anything physical anymore.
I know.
To give to somebody. It's such a weird.
It's different.
Oh, man. It's a new world. Yeah. But that's my story of redemption.
I love it.
That's
love
my story of sealing the deal. Well done. Yes. I had to tell you. I was like, whew.
I'm proud of you, bro.
And now I'm trapped in the, I can't fall in love with you like everybody else does, because this is the whole convoluted situation. But again, yay!
Yes, yay. Well done, redemption, man. Redemption. It's always important. If you get a second chance, you gotta take it. You gotta do it right. Not many people do.
No, they don't. And that's the other thing too. It's like, it wasn't like a second chance for anything. Like, we're not getting married or nothing, but just to be with somebody you wanted to be with and do something you wanted to do. Like I said, I was already fucking happy as I could be when we walked into the door. She gave me a hug and a kiss. I'm like, okay, done. I'm good, right? If I fall flat on my face, you can
walk out right now.
Yeah. If I fall flat on my face, this is somebody I've appreciated for a long enough time that I just whatever. And again, I hate the fact that I'm sitting here talking to you and I sound like this. You know, I don't usually sound like this. I know I never sound like this.
Man, she must be special, bro. Oh, that's all I know. She's special. Look, one day I'd like to see her so I can validate this unicorn.
Do you know what? She's watching this. She's a warm weather LA lover. I would love, we should go fly out and go have a dinner date and hang out with my boy Thomas and his lovely wife, which I'm going to have her on the show sometime soon too. And so if you're a girl, we could go. And that's okay, cool. Good. Now back to reality and me out here running these streets and hanging out with these women and you out here working with these clients and getting these people together. Why are you talking to me, man?
What do you mean, why am I talking to you, bro?
I called you the other day. You answered the phone in the middle of a meeting. You called me back at the panel. You text me back. You are too high fidelity to be talking to me. My man, you've been on Steve Harvey's. You've been on Fox and Friends. You've been on the morning AM shows. You should not be slumming it with me. What you doing answering my calls? I'd block me if I was you.
Bro, do you remember that fateful day in South by Southwest in 2009 when we were at the Hilton Convention Center? And we went upstairs, we were kind of just messing around, just kind of walking around, we're in this empty space. And you put out your, what was it called? What was it, a flip cam?
Yeah. Remember that? Friend Up Friday.
Put up the flip cam. And I was like, literally just kind of looking around. I was like, one day I'm going to speak here. And I'm going to have this room. That was my goal. And you were the first person but you were one of the many people who said, this fool thinks he's going to be a professional wingman and make a business out of it. But I'm going to sit back and watch and see what he does.
Look. I'm worse than that. Look. I just put the camera for myself. Like, if you ever want to do anything in life and you got a passion, you got a dream, and you think you could do it, two things. One, pitch it to me. Because two things are going to happen. One, I'm gonna be like, that's a fucking great idea. Tell you to roll with it. And then you're probably going to go off and make bajillions of dollars. Or I'm going to say, that's a dumb idea unless you do this, this, and this. To which you said, I can do all that.
I can do that.
That's not a problem. I can do that. And so I said, all right, well, go ahead and do it. And next thing you know, Thomas is a roommate. He's like, the best thing you could have did was tell me what not to do and what to do, and I can't do it because you tell me I can't do something. Then you tell me what I should and shouldn't do. It's pretty simple to say, oh, well, let me try and see if this fool know what he's talking about. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do me, and it's going to work out. And now you done worked out. You done did it, and you're out here living the dream.
Yeah, but you were also, as much as you were one of the first people that said that I couldn't do it, you were also one of the first people who supported my success.
Yeah, because you again, know? it's one of those things where it's an idea where, again, like not for nothing. If I so chose to be a wingman, I could be a wingman because I know how it is to build someone and to help people. I help people all the time. It's just not my passion. That was your passion to go forth and do so, and it's just hard for some people to do it with other people to really help them the way they needed to be helped. And that takes a drive. That takes a real desire. And that was early in our relationship. And I was like, yo, if you got that drive, if you got that goal, then you could do it. And boy, did you get on the horse and giddy up and do it. So I can't do nothing but support the fact that you a man of your word, which is one of the key things about being confident and doing the things you want to do in life. Mm-hmm. If you say something, do something. This whole reason I don't talk all outlandish to women and stuff like that. You know, there's only so much I can do. There's only so much I got. You know, I told you about the young girl I was messing with a little while ago, and I told her straight up before we ever did anything, and she's just a rabid, excited, full of energy. I looked her right in the face, and I said, look, now when we get home, you got two options. Either we doing a marathon, are we doing two sprints?
We're doing two sprints. Can't do two marathons.
You can't do two marathons. So I was like, you need to let me know now so I can mentally prepare and get myself together. She's like, I'll take the marathon. I'm like, all right, now we're going to get this marathon, and I can make it last forever. But don't you ask me for nothing else after this marathon's over. That's right. Because that's how you got to do it. You get dudes out here promising girls, oh, man, girl, I'm going to do this. I'm going to. Next thing you know, they're up there looking sad, and the girl's like, well, you told me.
You can't deliver?
Right? You told me I was getting a bath and a massage, and now I'm over here with a half-ass massage, and your hot water don't work. This don't make no sense. You done messed up. But, you're doing big things, man. Always got the fry suits on, looking fancy.
Just gotta look good to feel good, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel good to look good.
True story.
So a lot of times it's me feeling good to look good, but sometimes you gotta, if you're not feeling that great, you still gotta look good to feel good.
It's it depends on what your thing is. One of my buddies, he's 24, he's never had a girlfriend. He's a nerd. And he's like, oh, well, I need to stop wearing t-shirts. I was like, yeah, bro. It's like, you wanna get out and meet women? You gotta get out of the t-shirts and the flip-flops and put on some clothes. Now, I'm not telling you to go throw on a three-piece suit. But, you know, get yourself a flannel. Get yourself a shirt from J. Crew. You know what I mean? Get yourself a button-up shirt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get yourself one pair of loafers. You know what I mean? That way, at least when you go out, you know, a girl look at you not like you're a 17-year-old boy. You're trying to find a woman around your age. You can't go out looking like a 15-year-old anymore. You know what I mean? You got to step it up a little bit. And as soon as he put on some different clothes, he felt better. He felt more mature. He felt like, you know what I mean? He was going towards his goal. So
it's the easiest thing that I think people, for whatever reason, neglect to do. I mean, we live in a society where people judge you based on what you look like. You and I know this firsthand every single day that we are alive.
Lord knows.
So why not try to take care of that at the best of your ability when it's the easiest thing to take care of? Now, social skills, what you say, how you behave, that requires more work. But what you look like, that's the easiest thing you can do. That takes care of a lot.
Yeah.
So I just think is if you're looking for that instant change, something like that, easiest thing you can do. You don't even need help. If you want to get help, that's great. But you don't need help.
Yeah. You could pick up any kind of magazine. They got outfits put together in the back. Just go order yourself one of those outfits. And that's your I'm going out fishing outfit. And go from there.
Exactly.
So what else you got going on besides your one-on-one client work? What are you doing?
The wife and I actually launched a group coaching program, which is really exciting. We actually opened up enrollment this past Wednesday, and it's an 8-week course where her and I basically give you all the tools for online dating and offline dating and all the strategies and tips and tactics that you need to find essentially your perfect match. And so what we do is we create a community of great people where not only do you get the instructional videos, but you get live coaching sessions with us every week. You have a great community of people where you can actually post up information where we can give you real-time feedback, but also get the support of the people who are also doing this with you. I think it's really, really cool. I talk a lot about actually your wardrobe. She talks a lot about how to create good profiles. So it's really cool. We call it fearless dating, because I think one of the biggest things that people talk about when it comes to dating is how much they're afraid to put themselves out there, how they're afraid of being rejected, how they're afraid of being alone. And we're saying, fuck that. Be fearless in your dating life and you will find exactly what you're looking for. So that's one of the things that we launched. Pretty amazing. If you want to check out a little bit more of that, you can actually go to bit.ly/fearlessdating. You can see kind of an overview of what we're trying to provide, but it's a great, great program. We're excited to launch it.
I definitely link that up. It's, you know, so I've sent your wife is an author. I've sent her book to two girls because we're too prideful to contact her when I said, look, you're online. You know what I mean? Like, because again, like I said, dude, I got so many people hitting me up for the, why isn't, you know, I'm on Bumble and I don't know what to say to these guys and why don't the guys respond to me? And so I go, true story. I go to this one girl and I'm like, look, your profile's all jacked up on Bumble. You know what I mean? Here's the thing for this book. Get this book. You should contact my friend. Like, she's my friend. And I've known this girl for 10 years. So I've known her a really long time. And I'm like, look, I'm telling you that if you go talk to my friend, work with her, she will help you do it. She's like, I can't. I feel weird asking a professional. Like, I feel like a loser. Now, mind you, she's a 27-year-old Italian stallion, gorgeous girl living in New York City on that hustle and bustle grind. So she feels too prideful sometimes to ask for help. And she's not at the age yet where she's super jaded, where she realizes that she needs the help. She's young enough to think she could do it on her own.
So I know. I'm going to sound like an asshole when I say this, but give her 3 years. She might be reaching out.
And that's what I'm saying. I fully...
But don't wait that long.
Because you're wasting time not being with somebody because somebody could help you. So I told her, I said, look, I'm not a professional, but here, let me tell you what's wrong with your profile from my manly eyes. First things first, you got four pictures up here. The first picture is you and some blonde chick. Why is there a girl there? She said, literally, I'm better looking than her. It doesn't matter. You've given a man an option. Now, first thing that happens with a man and an option is his penis starts doing the picking. And you don't know if he likes blonde hair and green eyes versus brunette and blue eyes. You don't know what he's thinking. So you done already fucked up by giving him an option. Get that chick out of there. Secondly, you have a body of a miniature Beyonce. You ain't stacked up that stacked up, but you stacked up in the front and back where it should be on display. What the fuck is up with this turtleneck? Now, I'm not saying put the yams out on the table, but I'm saying put some tinfoil on it, but lift it a little bit so I can see that there's yams in there. Let me know this, what's going on. And she's like, well, I shouldn't. I was like, no. I was like, look, I can't tell if you're a 300-pound girl or that you're, you know, 145, 135-pound girl. I can't tell by this. And she's like, well, you do. It's a honey trap. You got to put out some honey to get the bees. The bees ain't going to have time to talk to you about the honey. They don't know, but you got honey. Yeah. So, and then it was just a whole thing. And I'm like, look, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. And you just messing up. You need to get some help. So women, men, 20 to 60 to 90 to whatever old you are. Thomas is here. There's help out there. Try the course. This course sounds great. It's digital. You got a little bit of a buffer. So maybe, I mean, you can get in there, the community of people that need help like you, but you got, a closed mouth don't get fed.
No, so true. And the thing about it is, like, I think, you know, dating, we're getting to a place where we've gotten someone to help us out in every other part of our lives, right? You want a career, hire a recruiter or career coach. You want to up level in your job, you hire an executive coach, right? You're an athlete and you want to work on your swing or your shot or whatever, you hire a coach.
Yeah.
Why not hire someone who can help you in this part of your life? Don't get fooled by how we were all raised just to assume that dating was just supposed to work out once we had the rest of your shit together. That's not the world we live in anymore.
Yeah.
And it's totally and honestly, the question I always like to pose is, how much would it be worth to you to have someone go out with you and introduce you to the person that's going to be your long-term mate? Maybe the person that you spend the rest of your life with. Yeah. I don't know how important it depends on how important it is to you. If it's not important to you, probably don't care how much you probably don't care. Probably wouldn't be that much. But if it's something that you've been battling for years, decades even, how much would that really be worth to you? I would hire someone if I couldn't find someone at this point.
Man, look, I tell you what. One thing, first things first, like I said, you know, Like I said, I specifically remember it. Like, all the times I think about, every time I look at y'all's happy faces together and making me sick on your little love vacations and being together and working together. And it's just, it's annoying. I know it ain't all perfect. Now, trust me, I know it never ain't, is. I know it ain't all roses, but goddamn, y'all got a lot of roses in the yard. I mean, it's just.
We got in a fight this past Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, shit's real. Shit's real. It always happens.
We ain't got in a fight. Look. These fools, go check the Twitters. Go check the Instagrams. Go see the vineyards and the wines and the roses and the beaches and the snuggling and the smiling and the, oh, we working together. We got a camp. Look, most people can't even live together. Y'all out here just doing it all and on TV and smiling. I can't stand your happiness. I really love it so much. But I'm just saying, it's just too good, and I can't stand it, and I love y'all for it, because like I said, I remember that day in the car when it was like I said, like, when the thing you just said about finding the person that's for you, mm-hmm. when, again, you're in a profession where people are buying you drinks to introduce you to them, to women, to which you're a charismatic person. And you can not only get the leftover women, you can pick out prime women if you just wanted to play around. And you young, you could have still been doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and then when we were sitting in the car and we was like, the world or the girl, and the girl took over for the world. That's love. That's how it's supposed to be. Like you said, what is the price on that? What is the price on the fact that you making that decision and being able to work together and be happy together? Because some people make that decision and they think that girl is over the world, but that's not the right girl for you. That might be you just settling for something you don't understand because you haven't gone through the proper steps. You haven't talked to somebody and said, hey, I've done this with this person, that with that person. This is what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. Because some people are just bad pickers.
Yeah.
Some people just pick the wrong person. And if you got another person by your side, they might say, well, you told me you wanted A, B, and C. Why are we talking to X, Y, and D? Like, this is not matching up with what you told me you wanted. I know you seem attracted, but you're wrong. Because I listened to you when you weren't drinking, when you weren't horny and alone, and you told me you wanted A, B, and C. This girl is 1, 2, 3. It's not even the alphabet. These are numbers. This is a totally different. No, you don't. Not want even that. Numbers.
Like Roman numerals. Roman numerals. Like, that's how far off we are.
Yeah. So you know, like you said, sometimes you got to do it, and you know,
It was a risk, man. It was a risk. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a risk. I mean, to do it so young was definitely a risk, but I don't regret it. Cash in big and.
Right.
Cash in early and cash in big.
Right.
Hey, well, I'm reaping awards every single second.
Hey, when you clear out the table, man, you clear out the table, and that's just how it is. Now see, I'm sitting over here messing around. The only time I really want a lady is when I'm sick, because you know how men are when we sick. We just been babies.
I'd be
laying in bed like, I want somebody to love me and bring me chicken noodle soup, please, Lord. Let somebody come into my life. But then I'll be just like chilling or whatever. So I think about it sometimes like, man, I should just find somebody, whatever. And my big thing about that is somebody will find me, I'll find them, it'll work out. I'm not rejecting love per se, but I let girls know early and often, like, da 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 da. And they're like, you know, the one last girl and I was hooking up with her, I'm going, you're going to be alone forever because you just not open to being in love. And I'm just like, I can't stop being in love. So if I'm not in love with you, nothing I can really do about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
different. Not wanting to be in love is a lot different than not being in love with someone.
Yeah. Because when you're in love with somebody, I can't control it. I can't help it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Different level, different story.
Lord
knows. Whole different conclusion. Too.
Like I said, it's a different situation to be in. So, the wife's on Twitter, eFlirt expert, Lori Davis. You're the wingman, professional, Thomas Edwards. Thomas, tell me about your favorite class when you were a kid in school. What was your favorite class?
Wow. I haven't even thought about that. Shit. Favorite class. I was always a math guy. So honestly, any math class I took, that was where it was at.
You are a math guy. I remember we were talking about loans and stuff like that, and you were just throwing out the percentages, and I'm like, Beep, boop, boop, yeah. Beep, boop, beep. And you're like, dog, all you gotta do is, I'm like, bitch, shut up and give me the answer. I ain't got time for telling me. I ain't trying to learn nothing. I ain't in school.
So I'm just really weird with numbers. Like, I just, numbers for me, just they all come together at the perfect time. And it's like geometry, algebra, trig, calculus. I mean, I took calculus, AP calculus, and destroyed it. I mean, math was the only class where it was so hard for me to not get at least an A minus in. I got lower grades and other shit, but math was the one thing that I knew that I could own every single day.
Unless it's money, math eludes me to no end, mostly because of that photographic memory. So in school, in math class, most of your tests come from your homework and stuff like that. So the teacher would go over the work in class, the homework would be the same. I already knew what the answer was, so I'd write down the answers. And they'd be like, show your work. And I'm like, I can't because I don't know how to do it. The test would come. I'd get 100 on the test because all it is reinforcing the work. The one year, they made me take my test with the principal because I got just all the answers right. And I showed no work. They're like, well, who'd you copy off of? I'm like, nobody. So a math eluded me till this day where even like helping Leah with her math, I'm like, man, I don't even know how to do my times tables. I know what the answer is. I don't really even know how to teach you to do it.
How to explain it, right?
Yeah.
It's so different. I remember when I was in fourth grade, we used to do long division contests where my teacher would write like 5 divided by like 800 trillion, like 800 trillion. And it's crazy. And then he put it out on a scroll, like a legit scroll, because I had to do the whole thing by hand. I used to like rush to go in there and do the whole thing, and like I used to run up to the beat, always be first to finish it. I would get it right every single time, and like that was kind of just who I was as a kid, and still am today. Like I'm my wife's calculator when it comes to doing tips.
Yeah,
like yeah. She's like, oh, what's this? I'm like, oh, bam, 15. She's like, oh, yeah. What do you mean?
You're good. You know, it is what it is.
She's getting better at it, though. I will say, she's getting very, very good at it.
Who taught you how to ride a bike?
No one. I actually had training wheels. And then I decided to take them off, and then I just learned on my own. But I will say, the first day I decided to not be in my yard and go down the street, I used to live on a hill. And the first time I went down the hill, I was doing really good, and I was going probably like, I don't know, 15, 20 miles per hour at that. I saw this really, really cute girl who saw me trying to whiz by. I literally just looked over this real quick. And I flipped over my bike, and I skidded maybe about, I don't know, 3 or 4 yards. And I just walked that sucker right back up the hill. And my whole, like, I'll show you. I don't know if you can see it, but I got this scar.
Yeah.
Existed because of it. I have another scar here in my shoulder because of it. This is back when I was like, I don't know, 7 years old.
So the last time I fell was 2012. I tripped off my mom's front porch and I did a tumble to the grass. But before that, 2012, the last time I fell was 1988. I'm riding on my boy's handlebars and we're going to the park where a whole bunch of kids are. The girl that is the first love of my life, who my daughter's actually named after, was there. And I looked at her, I said, what's up? And I turned, put my foot in the spoke.
Oh, no.
My boy tumbled on top of me. I tumbled. I got the same similar scar on my shin. I got a hole in my leg. And let me tell you, I vowed to never fall again. Now, I'm a big dude. I've been on ice. I've been on the hole. And I had, from 1988 to 2012, I didn't fall. That was the sheer anger and fury in my heart that I fell in front of this girl that was like my world. And that ended up working out, obviously.
Yes, my girl at the time, her name was Jenny.
Jenny. Oh, and my bike experience was similar to the fact that I didn't have training wheels and I was trying to learn to ride my bike and I couldn't ride it. And then my neighbor came out and I instantly started riding my bike.
Yeah. It was one of those bikes where it didn't have like the pump brakes. It had the ones we had to like hit backwards, the slope brakes. So I couldn't stop. Once I was going downhill, that was it. So there wasn't really much I could do at that point. But, you know,
it's all good. Favorite vacation you've been on? What's the spot? What's the spot? Where are we going? Where are you taking me for my birthday?
Favorite vacation? Shit. I have to say Hawaii, man. We went to Kauai for our honeymoon. It was unbelievable. It was just so amazing. really, really cool. Like, just like, I will say, Kauai is also the wettest place on earth in the sense that, like, it gets over 600 gallons of rain per year.
Whoa.
It'll just like randomly just start downpouring for like 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, sun will come out, just like kind of chill. It'll actually be really sunny and rain at the same. I've never seen it where it'll be really sunny and rain at the same time. Because yeah. I remember I was at this place called Hanalei Bay, and it's kind of like Venice Beach in a bit, but you can actually go in the water and not like get destroyed by waves. But so you go in and it's just downpouring, and like you can tell who's local because they're not moving; they're still chilling. It's just still chilling in the Pacific Ocean, just hanging out. Because they know that that's just kind of what happens. But it's beautiful, man. Great, great island. And it's not a tourist island, too. So you see a lot of just, like, locals and natives who are just chilling there, which is really cool.
That's a bonus. What's your favorite food?
Oh, man. I'd say it's a tie between burgers and hot dogs.
Classic which, American.
Which I had two hot dogs before I came out here too. So.
Like a boss. I'm starving like Marvin. I haven't eaten yet. I've been running around all day, so I'm gonna grub after we get off, which will be soon. If someone were to take somebody out on a first date, do you suggest traditional or do you suggest find out a little bit about the person and do something different?
It really depends, but I would say my go to is just go grab drinks and see if you even like the person. You know, I always say, like, if you're on a first date, first question you should try to figure out is, do I actually want to have another drink with this person again? Like, if you don't want to have another drink with this person again, then chances are that they're not a good match. And so find that out first.
And that's what I call low pressure.
Yeah.
Low
keep
pressure.
Keep it chill. Keep low it pressure. Super, super chill.
So case in point, like I said about recognizing the signs, like my unicorn girl, we were talking about dating and stuff like that. She's like, oh, you know, she's going with this guy or whatever. And she's like, yeah, some guy wanted to go out with me. And so I said, sure, I'll drive. Because, you know, when the guy picks you up, then he wants to take you home. Then he tries to come in and do all that stuff. And girls know when they like a guy or not. And then she said, oh, well, let's just go out for drinks and not dinner. Because dinner has a lot of pressure on it.
Yeah, and there's a time requirement too, right? Like when you're ordering dinner, you're there for at least an hour and a half, yeah. At least.
Yeah. So drinks, it is. Again, what is the bit.ly for the new program?
Oh, it's so bit.ly/fearlessdating.
You're basically getting a 2-for-1 on that. His better half is the better half. That's what I'm choosing. I'm rolling with Lori on that part because I need to keep her on my good side because I love her to death.
She's the best half.
Oh,
the better.
Yes, the better. You know, I don't bug her as much as I bug you, but that's just because she's too special. I got to pick and choose. I got to pick and choose, and I call her up, man. I can't just be randomly bothering her. That's the queen bee.
When you call me, you can call me anytime.
I got to check with you to make an appointment to make the schedule. Boy, that's how we do it. So right. I'm gonna link up your Twitter, your Facebooks, all that good stuff, and definitely. Again, if you're, like I said, I got a lot of tech people to listen to this, and a lot of y'all just don't know what you're doing. There's people out there that can help you. There's programs out there that can help you. And, I mean, you might just want to start and check with this guy and see if he could do what you need to be done. So you can find love. There's nothing like having love. There's nothing like being with somebody that loves you. It really is something special. I mean, I joke around and play this out here, play a player role. But I would love to be in love and to love because it's special. So if you haven't had it and you can't find it, maybe you should have somebody take you out into these streets and go get it because it happens.
And it works. Between the two of us, we have 150 marriages to prove that.
That's what I'm talking about.
There are babies running around because of what we've done.
That's right.
Just remember that.
Right? Right? You out here making it happen, Cap'n. So,
exactly.
Again, I'm on the internet, the Twitters, the Patreons, throw me money. But if you don't, like I said, just subscribe to YouTube or Instagram or SoundCloud or RSS. You just do something. Click a button for me, for Pete's sake. Love me like I love you. And if you're alone in the middle of the night and you are semi-attractive if you think. You got a little confidence in yourself. Call me. I'm not picky. I like all shades of colors. I like the size. My size range is just call. If you're lonely, call me. I might take you out. I don't know. I'm just bored. I'm just saying. I mean, everybody needs love. I'm your boy with JJ Stone, aka O Doctor. And that's Thomas Edwards, your wingman. And we're out.